An Osho Talk. The great Zen master, Ta Hui, reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 29.
One suchness. To take up this great affair, you must have a determined will. If you're half believing and half in doubt, there'll be no connection. An ancient worthy said, studying the path is like drilling for fire. You still can't stop when you get smoke. Only when sparks appear is the return home complete. Want to know where it's complete? It's the worlds of self and the worlds of others as one suchness. Faith. Buddha said, faith can forever destroy the root of affliction. Faith can focus you on the virtues of Buddhahood. He also said, faith can transcend the numerous roads of delusion and display the path of unexcelled liberation. If you can believe directly that this mind has definitely attained enlightenment from the beginning and abruptly forget all your views, then these roads of delusion themselves are the root of enlightenment by which the person escapes from birth and death.
One suchness. It is a special dimension Gautam Buddha opened up. Nobody before him has ever talked about suchness. It contains so much that it has to be understood in its totality. If you have understood suchness in its totality, nothing else remains to understand. The mind is always questioning, doubting. Deciding what is right and what is wrong. What is true and what is false. In other words, the mind is always in a division and in a conflict. Is still, in other words, the mind is not at ease with existence. Suchness means to be at ease with existence. The trees are green and the roses are red, what can you do? There are murderers and there are great saints. If you don't distinguish, if you simply accept the fact that this is so, one tree is tall and one is small. Existence allows all varieties, expresses itself in diverse ways. If you are at ease with it all, with the saint, with the sinner, you have attained Buddhahood. If you have no condemnation for the sinner and no admiration for the saint, you have transcended both. You have come to one suchness. The world of the twos, the world of dualities, is dropped away from you. And the moment the world of twos and the world of dualities is no more there, where are you? Where is your mind? Where is your ego? They are all gone. In a single blow of the sword, and suddenly the whole existence becomes part of your heartbeat, and your heartbeat becomes the heartbeat of the whole universe. Then birds start singing, and it is not the words, but you. When the trees stand in silence, it is not the trees, but you. Then the sunlit peaks of the Himalayas and the tidal waves of the oceans are no more objects, they are your very subjectivity. This state Buddha calls one suchness. There is no need of any God. There is no need of a certain code of morality. There is no need of any sense of right and wrong. Who are you to decide? You are simply here to rejoice and to join in the dance. In this dance, the sinner is as much a part as the saint. Just think of a world without sinners, and it will be so boring, so utterly dry, just a desert unending. Life as it is, this faraway cuckoo calling you, is your own heart. Once this is not only a theory, but an experience, that you start dancing with the wind when the trees dance, that you start blossoming with the flowers when they open their petals, that when suddenly a cuckoo calls, it is your own song. And there is no question of discrimination. Right is right, so is wrong. The ultimate experience of consciousness is that this whole drama needs contradictions. If you take away days, nights will be very poor. If you take away nights, days will be very tiring. They appear to our mind as contradictories, but in existence they are complementaries. It is just the pendulum of the clock moving from one extreme to another. To see the saint and sinner as two points between which the pendulum goes on moving, you drop all admiration for the saint and you drop all condemnation for the sinner. You simply enjoy the beauty of both. Their very being is enough to fill you with great gratitude. This experience of one suchness is the greatest contribution of Gautam Buddha. And Tahui is going deeper and deeper into Gautam Buddha, not as an intellectual anymore, but as one who has experience too. Just for the moment, let this one suchness possess you. everything becomes so serene, so silent. Everything becomes so joyful that there are no words to express it. This inexpressible experience is the ultimate of religiousness. He talks about two things in this morning sutra: one, suchness, and faith. They both are two names of one thing. It is not the faith of a Christian. Words change their meaning as they change their context. Words don't have their own meaning. Their meaning comes from their context. Faith to a Christian or to a Mohammedan or to a Hindu is nothing but another word for belief. And a belief is always nothing but an repressed doubt. Every belief is having behind it a doubt. To repress the doubt, you believe more and more. But the doubt goes deeper and deeper into your unconscious. Faith in the world of Gautam Buddha's experience is not belief. It has nothing to do with doctrines and philosophies, theologies, ideologies. It has something to do with trust, something to do with love, something to do with being at ease with the world. However it is, there is an ancient story of a Zen monk . The king used to go on a round every night in disguise in his capital to see whether things are all right or there is some trouble which he is not allowed to know. Is there somebody miserable? If he can do something, he wanted to know it directly, not through so many mediators and bureaucracies. He was always puzzled by a man, very beautiful, very silent, always standing under a tree, whatever time of the night he went, he was always standing there silently, just like a marble statue. Naturally, curiosity arose, and finally he could not resist his temptation to ask this man what he is guarding. Because he could not see that he has anything. He was standing naked. The young man laughed and said, "I am guarding myself. I don't have anything else." But guarding itself, being alert and aware and awake, is the greatest treasure. You have much, but you don't have the guard. The king was puzzled, but intrigued by the beauty of the man and by the authority of his words. And every night they used to talk a little bit. Slowly, slowly, a great friendship arose. The naked monk never asked who you are. The king asked him that, "I have been asking so many questions to you, who you are, from where you have come, what you are doing, what is your discipline, but you have never asked me who you are." The young man said, "If you knew who you are, you would not have been asking all these questions. And I don't want to humiliate you. I simply accept whoever you are. I never ask the trees. I never ask the animals, the birds. I never ask the stars. Why I should ask you? It is perfectly good that you are. And I am perfectly at ease with you and everything. The question is an uneasiness. It is a tension. It arises deep down from fear. One wants to know the other because the other may turn to be an enemy, may turn to be mad. The other has to be made predictable, then one feels at ease. But can you make anybody predictable?" The man said, "Nothing can be predicted. Everything goes on moving into more and more mysteries. And I am perfectly at ease. Whatever is happening is a joy. Each moment is so sweet and so fragrant. I cannot ask for more. Whoever you are good. I love you. I love everybody. I simply love. I don't know any other way to relate with existence. This is faith. Not knowing any other way to relate with existence except love, except a total acceptability, the one suchness. The king was so impressed, he said, knowing well that a man who has renounced the world, even renounced his clothes, in winter nights, cold, he goes on standing alone in his silence, is bound to refuse his invitation. A simple expectation of any human being. He said that I have fallen in so much love with you that the whole day I wait when the night comes and I go for the round. And I am always afraid someday you may not be here. I want you to be more close to me. Can I invite you to my palace? I will arrange everything as you want. There was not even a single moment, and the man said, this is a good idea. The king was shocked. One is expecting from a saint that I have renounced the world, I cannot come back to the world. And he would have risen in his eyes in honor and respect. But the man said, this is perfect an idea. I can just go with you right now. I don't have anything to carry with me. No arrangements have to be made. The king was in doubt that perhaps he has been befooled. This man is not a saint. He has been only pretending and must have been waiting for this moment. But now it was very difficult to take the invitation back. So he has to take sadly, reluctantly, the man whom he has desired so much, loved so much, his company, his presence, his eyes, his every gesture. He gave him the best palace where his guests, other kings and emperors used to stay. And he was hoping that he will say, no, I don't need these golden beds and marble palaces. I am a naked monk, more in tune with the trees, with the wind, with the cold, with the heart. But instead of this, the man became very interested. He said, "Great, this is the right place." The king could not sleep the whole night. Although the monk slept the whole night perfectly well in those luxurious surroundings, from that morning, every day, the monks respectability in the mind of that king went on down, because he was eating luxurious food. He was no more naked. He was using the costliest robes. He was not worried about women. Most beautiful women were serving him. And he was quite at ease, as if nothing has happened. He looked just the same as he was naked under the tree. But it was too much. It was becoming a wound in the king's heart that he has been really befooled, cheated. Now how to get rid of this man? He is not a saint. One day he asked him that, "I have a question carrying in my mind for many, many days, but not being able to be courageous to ask." The man said, "I know. Not many, many days, but from the very moment when I accepted your invitation." The king was again shocked. He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I could see the very moment the change in your face, in your eyes. If I had rejected, you would have respected me, touched my feet. But I don't reject anything. My acceptability is total. If you are inviting, it is perfectly good. And when I said the palace is right, it is not the palace that is right, I am right. Wherever I am, I was right under the tree naked, I am right under these royal robes, surrounded by beautiful women, all the luxuries, and naturally I know you must be very much puzzled, you look tired. You look sad. You don't look your old self. You can ask me the question, although I know the question. The king said, if you know the question, then the question is that now I want to know what is the difference between me and you. The young man laughed and he said, I will answer, but not here, because you will not understand it. We go for a morning walk. At the right place, at the right moment, I will answer. So they both went on the horses for a good morning ride. And the king was waiting and waiting. It was a beautiful morning, but he was not there to enjoy the morning, only the young man was enjoying. Finally he said, now this river is the boundary of my empire. Beyond the river, I cannot go. That belongs to someone with whom we have been enemies for centuries. And we have walked miles, now it is time enough. It is getting hot, middle of the day. The man said, yes. My answer is, this is your robe, this is your heart. And he became naked again, and he said, I am going to the other side of the river, because I don't have any enemies. And this robe was never mine. And this horse was never mine. Just one small question, are you coming with me or not? The king said, how I can come with you? I have to look after the kingdom. My whole life's work, struggle, fight, ambition is behind me in the kingdom. How can I go with you? The man said, that is the difference. I can go. I don't have anything in the palace. I don't have anything to lose. Nothing belongs to me. As long as it was available, I enjoyed the suchness of it. Now I will enjoy the wild trees, the river, the sun. The king, as if awoke from a nightmare, he could see again that he has been mistaken. That man has not been deceiving him. He is authentically a man of realization. He said, I beg your pardon. I touch your feet, don't go. Otherwise, I will never be able to forgive myself. The young man said to me, there is no problem. I can come back. But you will still start doubting. So it is better, let me go. I will be just standing by the other side of the bank under that beautiful tree. Whenever you want to come, you can come at least to the other shore and see me. I have no problem in coming back, but I am not coming back because I don't want to disturb your nights and days and create tensions and worries. The more he became reluctant, the more the king started feeling sorry and sad, guilty that what he has done. But the young monk said, you could not understand me because you don't understand the experience of suchness. Wherever you are, you are in a deep love relationship with everything that is. You don't have to change anybody, you don't have to change anything. You don't have to change yourself. Everything is as it should be. It is the most perfect world. This is my faith. This is not my belief. It is not that I believe it is so. It is that I experience it is so. So faith in the world of Gautama Buddha and his disciples has a totally different dimension, a different significance. It is not belief. Belief is always in a concept, a God, a heaven, a hell, a certain theology, a certain system of ideas. Belief is of the mind, and faith is of your whole being. Belief is borrowed, faith is your own immediate experience. You can believe in God, but you cannot have faith in God. You can have faith in the trees, but you cannot believe in the trees. Faith is existential, experiential. So both the words are of tremendous significance for all those who are not in search of burdening themselves with more knowledge, more information, but are authentic seekers of transforming their whole approach to existence. To take up this great affair, Tahui is right to call it the great affair. You all know small affairs. You call them love affairs. But you don't know the great affair. Nothing is wrong with a small affair. They are like a staircase. Go on having more and more small affairs, one day you will have the great affair. Loving this person, loving that person, loving this situation, loving that situation, suddenly you will open up that why be miserly? Why choose? Why not choicelessly love? When love in small quantities gives so much joy, the whole ocean, the whole existence loved, trusted, without any complaint, without any grudge, without any desire to change, just things as they are. You suddenly fall into the great love affair. Tahui is absolutely right to call it this great affair. But to experience this great affair, you are not expected to believe. You are expected to have a determined will. You can see how the paths change. Belief means surrendering your will to some savior, to some messenger, to some prophet, to some god. But this great affair needs tremendous will on your part to get rid of all ideas and all beliefs. In fact, to get rid of your mind itself so that you can become open in all the dimensions of existence, available to all the experiences, and they are infinite. A determined will that you will not carry the borrowed knowledge, that you will not remain conditioned by your parents, by your teachers, by your priests, a determined will that you will clean all this crap from your heart and you will remain just as you were born, a small child with no mind, but absolute consciousness, a great clarity, but no language. He sees the trees, but he cannot say they are green. He sees the beautiful moon, but he cannot say it is beautiful. Words are not standing between him and existence. It will take some time for him to create a wall around himself of words, language, concepts, ideologies, philosophies, religions, and greater and bigger the wall becomes, the more imprisoned he is. Every human being is an imprisoned splendor. The great will is needed to drop all that you know, because it is not your knowing, and just be simple and innocent, and suddenly, in a split second, the transformation happens. You have fallen into the great affair, the one suchness, and the faith. This faith has no adjective. It is simply faithfulness. If you are half believing and half in doubt, there will be no connection. If you are half believing and half in doubt, you will not be connected with this great affair, with this existence. You are always making the house with one hand and destroying it by another. Just look at your life. You create a small affair. Forget about the great affair. Even in your small affairs, you are creating it by one hand and destroying it by another hand. It is an established psychological fact that love is never alone. It is always with hate. You hate the same person you love, and they go on changing their shift. In the morning you hate, in the evening you love. But this kind of affair, of coming close and going farther away, is an unending process. And it is not going to give you contentment. It is not going to give you the faith, the trust, and the blissfulness. Yes, it will give you a few glimpses once in a while, but it will also give you many nightmares. And they all get mixed up, and people become just a mess. Their nightmares and their sweet moments, golden moments, all get mixed up. Look into any mind and you will find this mess. And they are unable to sort it out. In fact, there is no way to sort it out. Either drop it or take it up. Only these are the two alternatives. One day everybody is going to drop it. Because how long you can live in hell? How long you can torture yourself? And no small affair can be a fulfillment. You are born with the capacity for the great affair. It needs a determined will. Not a belief not knowledge, but an absolute determination that you are going to be yourself. That you are going to throw all that has been loaded over you. That you are going to be nude as you were born. And you are going to look at existence without any prejudiced eyes. There is a possibility of getting connected. You were connected in your mother's womb. You were at ease. That was your whole world. You have tasted for 9 months an eternity of utter peace, blissfulness, no tension, no worry, no sadness, just a dancing of the heart. As you were born, you were disconnected with your mother. And then that disconnection goes on and on continuously in the name of education, in the name of making you civilized, cultured, you go on becoming more and more disconnected with existence. Sigmund Freud is right when he says that all the religions are nothing but a search for another womb. He has great truth in his statement. Sometimes he is shocking, and to his contemporaries he was very shocking. When he said that every man's desire to enter the woman's body is nothing but an unconscious effort to find the womb which he has lost. Although that is not the way to find it. Now you need a bigger boom, and existence is available, but you don't know how to enter into it. You are cluttered with so much unnecessary hindrances that you don't know how to enter existence. The only way is drop all these hindrances which are being supported by you. An ancient worthy said, studying the path is like drilling for fire. You still can't stop when you get smoke. Only when sparks appear is the return home complete. A great will is needed to go on drilling. Even though for a long time nothing happens, but one day you will see the signs of a smoke. Don't stop there. Smoke is not fire. Unless it sparks, unless flames, are available to you, don't stop. Go on drilling till the moment when you yourself become a flame. That is the completion of your pilgrimage. That is what is the great affair. Want to know where it is complete? It is the worries of self and the worlds of concerns as our suchness. Wants to know where it is complete. It is complete When the worlds of self and the worlds of others are all dissolved into a great suchness, there is only one oceanic consciousness expressing itself in different forms. This whole existence is a brotherhood. Saint Francis used to travel on his donkey. And people were very much puzzled because he used to call the donkey Brother Donkey. Many times they said that this does not look good. People laugh at it. They said, but the donkey has never laughed. And I'm addressing the donkey, not the people. And we have a certain brotherhood. The day he died, his last words were addressed to the donkey, not to the followers who has gathered from faraway places. He said to the donkey, Brother, I'm going. You serve me your whole life. With such deep love, that it will remain always a memory in me, wherever I am in the existence. And you have opened me the door of the great brotherhood. It was feeling in tune with you that I started feeling in tune with other animals, with trees. There are eyewitnesses that Saint Francis will sit in the wild forest and wild animals will come to him, hug him. Birds will come and sit on his shoulders. And when he will come near to the ocean or to the any river, different kinds of fish will jump out of joy, start dancing in the water. So many people have seen that it cannot be a mythology. There are so many records of other people who have seen these things. And whenever he was asked, what is the secret of it? He said, I don't know. I know only one thing. The day I became just a brother to my donkey, suddenly, the whole existence becomes a brotherhood. So to know where it is complete, a simple indication is that you fall into a deep suchness. In my whole life, I have never felt that anything is wrong. Everything fits so beautifully in the drama. That without it, life would have been a little less rich. When I was put in jail in America, the sheriff of the first jail was a man of great intelligence. He immediately recognized me. Because as he took me to the cell, he would not sit on the chair. He sat on the floor. He said to sit on the chair in front of you is not possible for me. And he asked, don't you feel that something has gone wrong somewhere? This cannot be part of your destiny. I said to him, this must be my part of destiny. Nothing goes wrong. Nothing ever goes wrong. This is my whole religion that I teach, that everything that happens is right. After 12 days when I left the last prison, the sheriff said that it is strange. You look better than you had entered the jail. I said, because I enjoyed it so much. It was such a new experience. If I had not been in the jail, something would have remained incomplete in my life. It has made me richer. He said, looking at you, it seems. And I said to him that If you want the life of your presidents and vice presidents richer, give them the same experience. They really need it. But not for a moment I have felt at unease with existence. I don't have any temple, I don't have any mosque, I don't go to any church, I don't have any belief system, but I have lived so totally that I can say life is such a great gift that no gratitude can express it. Buddha said, faith can forever destroy the root of affliction. All your afflictions are reduced to a simple statement, nothing more, that things are not what they should be. You should be on a better post. You should be recognized more. You should have more riches. You should have a more beautiful body. You should have a better house, a better wife, a better husband. Your complaints are millions. And all these complaints in your mind create your misery. Buddha is right when he says, faith can forever destroy the root of all affliction. Faith, in his sense, accepting whatsoever is the situation, without any complaint, knowing that this is how existence wants it to be. And if existence wants it to be, it must be right, because you cannot be wiser than existence itself. You must need it some way. There must be some part in you that needs it to make you complete. Faith can focus you on the virtues of Buddhahood. It is the door of faith, trust, love, suchness that you enter the doors of Buddhahood. I am reminded of another Buddha, Socrates. his wife was enough to make anybody enlightened. So there is no greatness of Socrates that he became enlightened. The whole credit goes to his wife. He was continuously teaching students from far away places were gathering to his house. And the wife was naturally offended that he never takes any note of her. He has no time. One day she was preparing tea for him, and then few students came and he became engaged in deep argumentation. The wife became so angry that she poured the whole hot water over his face. His half face burned forever. But he did not discontinue his dialogue with his students. The students were shocked. They could not believe, my God, his face is burnt, but he is not disturbed at all. They have almost forgotten what was the matter discussed, but he continued. They said that we have forgotten what the matter was. First, clarify one thing to us. Your wife is a monster. Your face is burnt. And Socrates said, she is my fire test. I am immensely grateful to her. She has done everything to disturb me, to make me angry. But my being has remained unruffled. I owe much to her. Whatever I am, without her, it would not have been possible. My peace, my silence, my understanding, my acceptance of any situation is all due to her. If you look at life, and this is the way of the seeker, then you change every affliction into a stepping stone. every nightmare into a situation for awakening. Faith can transcend the numerous roads of delusion and display the path of unexcelled liberation. Feeling oneness with existence . Now somebody has come with his monkey and with his drum. Life is so rich. And so unbelievably beautiful. If you can relax with it, you have reached the path of unexcelled liberation. You have reached to the very ultimate beyond which nobody has ever gone. And it is so simple. All that you need is to learn the art of acceptance, suchness, and the faith will arise out of it. And with the faith arising, all the doors of existence are open to you, inviting to you. The religious people of the world have destroyed the real and the essential meaning of religion, creating rituals, prayers, statues, churches, synagogues. They have misled the whole humanity. Nothing of that is needed. It is all junk. All that is needed is a small flame of love towards all without any conditions, without any expectations. And whatever life brings, to accept it with gratitude. So simple is the real religious experience. No holy scriptures are needed. You don't have to go anywhere. Wherever you are, you can create the experience of suchness. And you can blossom into the flower of faith, which is automatically becomes the fragrance of Buddhahood. Tahui has gone a long way. It has been a beautiful experience to see an intellectual, a man of knowledgeability, transforming himself into a man of innocence, faith, suchness. He has gone from mind to no mind. It is good that we also traveled with him with all his frailties, which are our frailties too. But he is also a certainty that if he can reach to Buddhahood, everybody else can reach to Buddhahood also. You are all in essence carrying the ultimate child, the ultimate innocence, just a little will. A little courage. And you have arrived home.